Welcome back to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, Eastern Utah's home for the Utah Jazz.
It is Monday, so of course that means we're going to talk NBA basketball. We do this every Monday with a great friend of mine, great friend of the show, Mr. James Holis. And James is joining us right now over the phone. James, I know you're always really excited to join the day after the Lakers lose. And so yesterday you watched Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal just completely rip them to shreds. Happy Monday to you, my friend.
Yeah, man. It's a good day, man. The Warriors lost, the Lakers lost, and the Celtics won on Saturday. So it was a good weekend of basketball.
Yeah, for you it was fantastic. Yeah, it was a fantastic week of basketball. I want to start with a topic of discussion that was really rampant yesterday on ESPN, ABC, whatever it is, before the doubleheader yesterday. The idea of, okay, who has the better ability to make a postseason run, Phoenix, LA, or Golden State? I thought that was actually a very unique conversation because I think the answer is none of the above. It's more abstract, right? If you look at those three teams, they are compelling. They have compelling pieces. We're talking KD, LeBron, and Steph. James, to me, the simple answer is none. None of those three teams actually have it in them to make a push for an NBA championship. I don't know if you agree or disagree with that, but I just believe those three teams are quite a bit behind the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, maybe even the Thunder. But let's take that out of the equation. Out of those three teams, who could make the biggest hay here over the next month, month and a half?
So, I agree with you. It's almost like asking, like, which one would you rather eat, a bowl of cat poop, dog poop, or horse poop? Like, none of them are great.
Yeah.
None of them are great choices. None of them are choices. Like, I don't want any of those. The only reason the Golden State corporate knowledge thing is kind of real. We see glimpses of it, right, where for whatever reason, with Kuminga playing right and Wiggins playing right and Steph being Steph and Draymond having a flashback performance, and, you know, Klay had 20 in the first half the other day. Like, the sprinklings and inklings are kind of there for Golden State to kind of maybe not reclaim it, but have a nice stretch. I don't know if you remember earlier this year. You know, we remember earlier this year, but the Utah Jazz played like one of the best teams in the league for like 3 or 4 weeks. Remember that?
Yep.
So teams can surge. It can be kind of cyclical, right? Now, obviously, the Jazz aren't that good. I think, like you said, Golden State's really not that good. But they I think they had a stretch just now where they won, like, what, 9 of 10? Some nonsense
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
So, yeah, 9 of 10, yeah.
So I would say, the problem with Phoenix is health. Because I think if Bradley Beal gets healthy, Kevin Durant is still Kevin Durant when he wants to be. Devin Booker is a top, I don't know, we want to say top four scorer in the league. He's an elite, you know, approaching top 10 type player all around. I think Royce O'Neal helps them a lot. Grayson Allen has proven himself to be a very dependable role player. So I want to say Golden State, but I think I'll say Phoenix. If Kevin Durant can get right, Beal gets right, and these new guys are being integrated, they can really kind of make a run. You're right. They're not better than Denver. They're not better than Timberwolves. Not better than top of the East. But they can maybe operate as one of those, as a high echelon offensive team with a little bit of defensive flashes for a couple months.
If we talk about the Golden State Warriors, Chris Paul, supposed to be returning tomorrow, hasn't played since January 5th, fractured his hand. It's been a long time. It's been a month and a half of no Chris Paul. Does that help the dynamic in Golden State? Because as you just mentioned, they had won 9 out of 10. I think they've won now 8 out of 10, if I'm not mistaken. So this is a team that's playing better basketball. Getting Chris Paul back for this stretch, and it was a fractured hand. Okay, and I bring up the fact that it's a fractured hand because that's different than something with the legs. I think you have a fresh-legged Chris Paul, which is something that we have not seen in a very long time. A fractured hand, I think, actually does Chris Paul favors, as odd as that sounds, James, moving forward. Does this help the dynamic? Does this help Golden State even more, or does it hurt them?
It definitely helps because while he was out, we saw that the pods really kind of came to his own a little bit. They finally actually started giving Kuminga the minutes he needs. And so I think while he was out, the dynamic changed a little bit. I think he can do nothing but help stabilize that second unit. Right. I don't even know who they have. I guess Pods is playing backup point guard right now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, now you put Klay. You got Klay and Chris Paul come off the bench. Like that's. And we know Chris Paul. He's shown that he's fine sacrificing and kind of just playing his position. We know he's a low turnover guy. He's a good decision maker. If he's organizing that second unit, you put him some in the first unit with alongside Steph Curry, where He's just making the right plays, making the right reads. And if he's hitting that mid-range shot, it just adds another layer to that Golden State attack. So, yeah, it kind of bums me out to see the Warriors kind of getting it together a little bit because I like seeing them struggle, but yeah.
Steve Kerr said that Chris Paul is going to play all non-Steph Curry minutes. And I don't know what that looks like moving forward. I don't know what the dynamic of those two on the court at the same time looks like, but you're hard-pressed to find a better leader for a second unit than Chris Paul in the league right now. I don't think there is one.
Right, that's why I think it's going to help, because I feel like the Warriors have sort of started settling into a different regular rhythm and tempo where they don't look like they're completely lost. Even though, again, like you said, they blew a double-digit lead just against Denver, right? And it's crazy how Klay can have 23 in the first half and finish the game with 23. I think that's where Chris Paul helps, right? He finds shots and he generates offense for Klay Thompson in the second half. Maybe if Klay scores, you know, another 8 points versus zero, that just kind of greases everything else. So it's sad to say he could help. Now, health is going to be the same question, though, right? Can he stay healthy the rest of the season? Because he's getting increasingly brittle. But I definitely think it helps, and that bums me out because I don't want Golden State to be good.
As I bring up, again, it's a hand injury, and I know that there's a long line of hand injuries for Paul, but that to me, that is different, right, than suffering an ankle injury, a knee injury, a hamstring injury that we've seen before. The idea that it's a hand tells me he's got fresh legs. That's a real thing to me.
Obviously, he probably, you know, he should have been able to maintain his wind, you know, doing cardio and stuff with the hand immobilized while he was out. So, sure, basketball is different, but it should be a pretty quick ramp up to back to being basketball ready. You know, it's not like an unstable knee. It's not like he's limping around. But you're absolutely right. That makes a huge difference.
Again, James Holis, our guest right now as we talk NBA basketball. James, I want to go back to another game that we had yesterday. To me, it was a very telling game. We had Philly and Milwaukee. You and I did talk a lot about the Bucks. Despite the fact that they were playing subpar basketball, they had lost, I'm trying to remember, it was like 5 out of 7 games. Over the last two, they picked up a win on Friday against Minnesota on the road. They picked up a blowout win on the road against Philadelphia. Giannis looked very good in both of those victories. I think he went for 30 yesterday, went for 33 in the win against Minnesota. I only see this team getting better. I know there's been a lot of things that's gone on with this organization. They made the move for Pat Bev. You and I talked about that. Everything that they done at the deadline, bringing in Doc Rivers. Two foundational wins. Those are signature wins. You beat two teams that you may have to see in the postseason. They may run into Philly. It's not out of the realm of possible. If they were to come out of the East, it would be Minnesota. Those are two huge wins for a team that was struggling.
I'm going to say that's one huge win. The Timberwolves win was really huge. I can't give them too much props for the Philly win. Embiid's out, right? Without Joel Embiid, Philly's a completely different team. They've been on the snide since Embiid got hurt. I want to say it's pretty bad. They're under 500 since Embiid got hurt. And it is what it is, right? Everything starts and finishes with Embiid. Maxey was great as the number two, not so great as the number one guy. And that's not an insult to Maxey. He's not there yet. I give them a lot of props, though, for the Timberwolves win, because the Timberwolves are definitely number one in the West. Their defense, is the way they play, they're a huge team. They're massive. They're physical. And so, yeah, good on Minnesota. Now, they've had other good wins this year. They cracked the Celtics by 30, and then they've also turned around and lost to Memphis. So it's going to be, for me, it's going to be more about consistency from them, right? Good win on Friday against the Timberwolves. I don't put much stock into the Philly win. Philly's just not very good right now. And let's see how they go moving forward. But they do seem to be trending in the right direction.
Here's why I'm going to give them credit for the Philly win. For one, it was a third straight road game. Two, if you go back over the month of February, you look at some of the bad losses. They lost to Portland on the road. They lost to Utah on the road. This was a nationally televised game at the end of February. Sets up a back-to-back with Charlotte. It's one of those games that you have to win, especially when you're a struggling team. And I named some of those losses in the month of February. That's a game on national TV that you have to win. And they didn't only win it. They dominated that game. Like, that game was over in the first half.
I'm sorry, brother. Like, this is my thing. Chris Rock had a whole skit about people wanting credit for what they're supposed to do.
A guy saying,
I take care of my kids, and you're supposed to take care of kids. So, no, I'm not going to give them credit for beating a Philadelphia team that's down an MVP. It's good. Good. You stack wins. You get them when you can. The same way, but just less than 2 weeks ago, or about 2 weeks ago, they lost to Miami with, like, none of their, like, no Jimmy Butler.
That's right.
So,
that's right. Whatever. Yep, they lost to Miami. They lost to the Jazz at the beginning of the month.
They did.
They got beat badly by the Jazz at the beginning of the month. Now they get Charlotte. I think it's a back-to-back with Charlotte to close out the month. Still, this is now a team that is lurking, I guess, in the Eastern Conference. They're right back with Cleveland. As a Celtics fan, you have no fear of Milwaukee right now?
I have a healthy respect for Giannis and for Dame. I know you have two guys of that caliber in a seven-game series. Anything is possible. You let Dame get comfortable, and you let Giannis get consistently downhill, and you get guys in foul trouble, you're in a world of hurt. But I'm not scared of Jay Crowder. Not scared of Bobby Portis anymore. I'm not scared of. So honestly, it's a lot. It's going to look a lot like how when the Boston Celtics played the Nets a few years ago, where they said, "All right, we're going to make sure we have our defensive principles set for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. They're going to get there, but we're going to play off. We're going to lock everyone else down and be rock solid." And that's what it'll take. So I'm not scared. I think the Celtics have done a good job of building really good habits and are really kind of coming together right now. They won 8 in a row. The head and shoulders better than anyone else in the East right now. As long as Boston's healthy, there's not a lot of fear.
Again, James Holish joining us right now to talk NBA basketball. James, you and I always talk about wins, losses. We talk about players. We talk about standings. We talk about where teams are situated. I want to talk about the business of the NBA for a moment, and I want to get your thoughts. And I know this is a curveball. You and I did not discuss this coming on the air. But today, we see the Los Angeles Clippers review their new look. And I had a listener bring this up to me. They asked me about my thoughts on the Clippers' new jerseys. And right off the top of my head, I could not care less what the Clippers' jerseys look like next year. However, I started looking into it a little bit more. The idea that the Clippers are getting their own arena next season, to me, this is a big step, right? This is a big step for a franchise that has become relevant over the last 10 to 12 years. And I'm not a big Steve Ballmer guy. I think you and I have had conversations about Ballmer. But in this world where owners look at their professional sports teams as a trophy, some do, some really don't care about winning. I got to give the Clippers a lot of credit here today. I love the new look. I do. As I said, I didn't really care what they wore, but it looks good. The new logo looks good. They get their own arena now in Inglewood. They don't have to play underneath someone else's 17 championship banners. They're finally going to have a home arena. And I got to give them a lot of credit for it.
Same. I'm like you. I don't really give a damn too much about the business side of it, right? I'm a big NBA fan, but I do want the game to grow. And, yeah, separating the Clippers from their L.A. big brother is a big deal. The look is good. It's a nice, clean look. And honestly, look, the Clippers, no matter what fans want to say, if Clippers fans want to say, from the outside looking in, I think Clippers and I think losers, right? For decades, even before, you know, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin did what they could to turn it around, but even them, right, it was about, you know, always the bridesmaid, never the bride kind of thing. So, good on the Clippers. It's time to try to. Hey, if they had done a name change, I wouldn't have been shocked, right? You want to kind of shed the complete old style, but no, it looks good. They get Kawhi locked in for the next couple of years.
They do. Yep. He's locked up.
So yes, we always say, hey man, this is the year, make or break for the Clippers. In reality, time always marches on. You don't just give away talent. You don't just quit on talent. When they're a very good team, and they're going to have to keep trying to retool, and it might never happen. But the point is, like you said, Ballmer is throwing the money and the effort into it, and you got to commend him for that.
You have to, because as you said, the big brother, getting away from the big brother. When I was talking to this listener about it today, I used the equivalence of the Mets and the Yankees, right? It doesn't matter what the New York Mets do. They're always going to be the little brother of the Yankees. The Mets could rally off three consecutive championships. They're always going to be the little brother of the Yankees. It's always going to be that way. The Clippers are always going to be LA is going to be a Laker town. That's just the way it is. The fact that you have an owner that is trying to embrace your own identity, you're moving on, and you're kind of accepting that challenge, I really appreciate it, because I think at times, if we look over the course of history in the NBA, the Maloof brothers come to mind, right? The Maloofs, to me, were the absolute worst owners in the NBA. They had a product there with the Sacramento Kings that were and it completely went to hell. The fact that Steve Ballmer bought a team, a second team in the second largest media market in the country, and he's taken it to this level, I'm appreciative of it, James. I think you have to be if you're a fan of pro sports.
Exactly that, man. It's about competition. It's about making sure that the fans know that you're not just trying to take their money and not put out good product. I mean, from what I understand, the new arena is going to be state of the art.
Yep, the Intuit Dome. That's what it's called, the Intuit Dome.
There you go. It does nothing but help the NBA. It does nothing but grow the sport. I don't know if this iteration the Clippers are going to win anything, But at least they're laying the groundwork to try to separate from the loser past.
Well, and that's a great segue, right? Because if we look at the Clippers right now, they're 37-19. It's not just a team moving into a new arena. It's a team that has built excitement. Again, they're always going to be the little brother. That's okay. The fact that this team has Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, James Harden, they got Russell Westbrook, they got an exciting team. They've built this team in a different manner than what they tried to build it in, I'm going to say 10, 12 years ago when they kind of lucked into Chris Paul. This is a franchise that I think you still think losers, and I get that, but this is a franchise that's done everything the right way to try to shed that tag. I guess that's the point of this particular conversation.
Yeah, man, and without some bad luck the last couple of years as far as injuries at the wrong time, they might have been able to say, you can call us little brother, but you can call us world champion. I feel almost like that window's already closing pretty fast. Every team has an expiration date, and this one never got to really come together at the right time, and I almost feel like they're, you know, when they start getting, you know, you got Harden now, you went grasping at Harden, and you got these, you know, Russ Westbrook at the bench is your guy. Like, I think they're maybe this summer they can make one big move to bring in one guy to kind of tie it together. But either way, good on Ballmer for bringing in the smart people around him and kind of standing back and letting them actually do their work. I think, like you were talking about the Maloof brothers, sometimes owners can be a little too involved and kind of muck up their own product.
Yeah, I think what was the fella's name? The bald guy from Philly, Krejci. Same thing.
Yes.
Same thing. With that, we'll end with this. The Clippers right now, the fourth seed in the Western Conference. They were playing lights out there for a bit. They had the best record in the Western Conference. For a slim moment, they had it. They've fallen to four, but they're still in the mix to get to the top spot. Can they come out of the Western Conference this year as currently constructed? And the way they're constructed now is the way they're going to be constructed the rest of the year. So is this team legitimate?
I still give the Nuggets the nod. I still think that, like, right now the Timberwolves, I think, are playing a little better, a little more sure of their identity. Because, yeah, I think the Clippers have had a couple bad losses recently. Now, it is a dog day of the season. I don't know how much you can really draw, right? This is going to happen this time of year, right? It's a long year. But it's all about playing right, playing the best at the right time. We'll see. We'll see, because who'd they lose to the other night? Help me out here.
The Clippers, I'm trying to think back on off the top of my head. It was a bad loss the other night because this team had played so well. I'm drawing a blank. Oh, they lost to
the Kings.
They lost to the Kings. Thank you. And if I'm not mistaken, they lost to the Thunder as well right beforehand.
They did.
Yes.
Exactly. So they've had a couple, and I think the Thunder blew them out also.
Yes, they did. It was not close.
So back-to-back blowouts to teams that they're supposed to be, you know, in the same mix with isn't the greatest, especially since I think both games they had the full complement of stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's not, it's, you know, that can't be great. But hey, again, every team has those moments, even great teams, good teams. I guess we have to trust more what we saw for like a month and a half than what we saw in the last 3 days. So I think they do have a shot. That, like, as much as anyone else not named Denver and might have a shot in the West. So, yeah, when you got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, that level of offensive talent, and a guy like James Harden is your third best player, you got a shot.
James, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. Before I let you go, of course, throw out that Twitter handle.
At Snotty Drippin. I talk basketball and nonsense all day. And I also just did a podcast. I can't have a name. I don't know what's happening right now. Yes, I might start podcasting again, so you guys be on the lookout for that. But yeah, at Snotty Drippin, and always a pleasure to come on with you, my friend.
Yeah, I always look forward to it. Thank you again. Can't wait to do it next week, James. Have a good one in the meantime, and continue to relish in the Lakers' downfall.
No, I can't even relish it, man. I think the Lakers are starting to maybe turn it around. It pissed me off.
Have a great one, James. Always fun.
Thank you, brother.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Always fun to be along with you on the afternoon drive. We talk local and national sports. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. We're going to be recapping the local winter season pretty much throughout the entire week. And so more Drive Time Sports coming up tomorrow. We'll get back on the local grind. Until then, be safe. I am out.